Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, as we journey through this inspired gospel book together, we'll give our attention to verse 11 of Matthew chapter 6. But once again, as we go into this, I'll read the Lord's Prayer, starting at verse 9 down through verse 13. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 9, this is God's Word. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, we're beggars, and we need to hear from you today. So please give us all that we need from Scripture for us and for our lives today, in this hour, in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm afraid we limit our prayers. For most of us who are here, we wouldn't limit God. We wouldn't say, well, he doesn't want to hear our prayers, or there's a lot of things he just can't do. But we might be tempted to limit the scope of our prayers. In fact, we might be tempted to limit our prayers because of this very series on the Lord's Prayer. And you say, how's that? Well, we're going through, for those of you that are visiting today, we're going through the Gospel of Matthew together. And we're in this portion where Jesus gives a pattern for prayer called the Lord's Prayer. And we've slowed down to focus on each petition of the Lord's Prayer. So we're giving extra emphasis to prayer. How would that possibly tempt us to limit our prayers? Well, one of the things we've been emphasizing is that this prayer is all about giving God the priority. It's a prayer to Him. It's a prayer for His glory, not our glory. Father, hallowed be your name. It's a prayer for His kingdom, not our kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So we've been urging one another, let's keep our prayers just saturated in God and focused on Him and on His glory. But that could cause you to think, you know, as you say that, prayers for God's kingdom, prayers for my toothaches. I mean, I kind of have been praying a lot lately for my toothaches and not really a lot about God and His kingdom. And you might wrongly conclude, well, we should just never pray about our toothaches. We should only pray explicitly and exclusively about the glory of God, with no regard to what's going on in our daily lives, the aches and the pains. But our petition for today reminds us, give us this day our daily bread. Our Father wants to hear from us also about the ins and outs of everyday life, the burdens on our hearts, the needs that are there. It's okay to pray about toothaches. God wants us to seek His provision for daily life. There's another reason, though, why we might be tempted to limit our prayers. Is it not true that many of us perhaps don't pray about our daily needs because we think, I can handle that just fine on my own? And it's probably especially true for us living in a wealthy Western world. When is the last time you thought, Thursday's coming up, I don't know if I'll be able to get food on Thursday. I might just have to go without. When's the last time you thought, wow, I don't know where I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. I hope someone lets me sleep at their house. I got nowhere to go. We don't think that way. We're not as accustomed to it. And if we would admit it in our hearts, honestly, Sometimes when we walk by people that are asking for food, we kind of quietly shake our heads and think, well, I would never sincerely need to do that because I got this. I work hard. I make money. If I have a need, I get what I need. I got this. But if that's our attitude, we'll be less likely to seek God's provision in our day in and day out lives. We should seek God's provision. Give us today our daily bread. Regardless of how assured we are that it's coming, we can still come to Him and acknowledge that we need Him in every realm of life, including the provision for our daily bread. How do we seek God's provision? Let me give you four specific ways to do that this morning. First, we should seek God's provision humbly. We don't deserve it. We ask for it. Now, that could sound a little presumptuous. If you don't deserve something, why are you going to come and ask for it? But it's not presumptuous when God invites us to come and ask. He's our Father. And for, I think, many of us, the danger is not that we would fear, boy, God doesn't really have any obligation to give me this, this, and this. I probably shouldn't ask. The greater danger may be that we would assume, well, of course God's got to give me this, this, and this. Why bother asking? The prayer is, give us today our daily bread. It's not a debt God is paying back to us. It's not wages that we have somehow earned that He owes us. It's His gift. Acts 17, 24 and 25. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He's not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all people life and breath and everything else. You hear the logic of that passage. God isn't served by human hands because He doesn't need anything. We can serve Him in the sense of loving and obeying Him, but we can't serve Him in the sense of He's desperately lacking so we can supply something He lacks so that then He will owe us. No, that's not the way God operates. He needs nothing, so whatever He gives is pure, undeserved grace. And He gives life and breath and bread and everything else. When Paul and Barnabas visit Lystra in Acts 14, they say, we're bringing you good news. They tell those people, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. He's not left people without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. But I work hard to labor in those crops and bring the fruit out of the ground. If you're a mom here today, you might say, I worked hard to nurse my baby every single day. But who makes the crops? Who makes our bodies function? It's all ultimately the Lord and His gift. Psalm 104, verse 13, God waters the mountains from His upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of His work. He makes grass grow for the cattle, plants for man to cultivate, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. We shouldn't demand because we don't deserve. We ask. There's a story we'll come to in Matthew 15 about a Canaanite woman. And she comes because her daughter is in desperate need, and she asks Jesus if He would be so kind as to heal her daughter. And Jesus initially says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This woman's a Canaanite, not among the house of Israel. So it sounds like a no initially. And then she asks again. And then Jesus responds, it isn't right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. He reminds her that she's extra undeserving. But listen to how she replies. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Not a presumptuous bone in her body, just humbly coming before the Lord to ask for what she knows she doesn't deserve, but she still holds out her hand and says, Lord, I need you. And Jesus responds, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Augustine said, when you say, give us this day our daily bread, you do profess yourself to be God's beggar. Be not ashamed at this. However rich any man be on earth, he is still God's beggar. You might have heard of George Mueller. He was a man who was a Christian who worked with orphanages in Great Britain in the 1800s. And he was a man who was known for his deep prayer. And he had made a personal decision that when there was a need, rather than try to solicit funds and things like that, he would simply make it known to the Lord. He did a fair amount of praying for daily bread. There's a story about how one morning, someone in his orphanage, one of the workers, came to him and said, in the morning, Mr. Mueller, the kids are up, they're ready. There's nothing here. We don't have food right now. And he took them into the place where they ate, and he prayed, and he waited. And then within not too long a period of time, there's a knock at the door, and it happens to be a baker. And he says this, Mr. Mueller, last night I couldn't sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning, so I got up and baked for you. I will bring it in. And then not long after that, another knock at the door. It was a milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage, so the milk was going to spoil. He said, you want the milk? I've got a lot of it here. Could you use it? Yes, they could use it. Why did the cart break down? Why couldn't the baker sleep at night? The Lord hears, the Lord knows, even in advance of our asking, of our need. Mueller's journals record over 50,000 answers to prayer. And they're not all that dramatic, but over 50,000 answers to prayer. And a majority of those answers came the day or the hour in which he prayed. And that brings us right into the next point. We should seek God's provision humbly. We should also seek God's provision regularly. Seek it regularly. Give us today our daily bread. Let's use our minds for a minute. If we're supposed to ask God for our bread today, how often will we go to God? Every day. There's built into the passage here the encouragement, go to God regularly, daily. And if that's not enough of an emphasis, there's a kind of redundancy in this prayer. It's a common prayer, but did you ever think about that? Give us today our daily bread. Why does it need to say both today and daily? If it's daily, won't it be today? Now, that's like saying, put the ice cream in the freezer where it's cold. You're like, okay, thanks. I realize the freezer's cold. Do I look a little slow here, or why did you need to tell me that? How many days have gone by this year where we didn't ask God to give us what we needed for that day? We're a little slow. We need the repetition and the emphasis. Give us today our daily bread. One of the ways that you see that is in the custom of praying before meals, that many Christians pray before their meals. Do you ever wonder, where did that tradition come from? Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. Now, that's not exactly a command to pray every single meal. And there it says, when you've eaten. So maybe we should be thanking God and pausing for prayer in the middle of a really good meal or afterwards, too. Who knows? But there's a connection of the blessings of God and then responding to God. Matthew 14, verse 19, Jesus directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Even when Jesus performs a miracle, he still takes time to pause and thank God for what he's providing. 1 Timothy 4, 4 and 5, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. So that tradition, in some sense, has its roots in Scripture. And if we should regularly thank God for our food, the passage here in Matthew reminds us we should regularly be asking and acknowledging God's hand in giving us that food. We can extend that to all kinds of areas of daily need. We need sleep. Rest is a gift from the Lord. Ask and receive and thank. I will, thank you. We are very good at regularly worrying. See, now we've got to get really convicting. So you asked me to preach, and we're going to get convicting now. We're very good at regularly worrying, but what about regularly praying? Look down in Matthew 6, a few more verses, to verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is it not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what will we wear? But the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. We'll come to this passage in just a few weeks. But the command there is don't worry about you what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. And our verse for today tells us, don't worry, ask the Father. Ask for his provision. Turn your worries into worship. Turn your anxieties into asking. God's timing is so much better than our timing, and it's good for us to be dependent on him. Part of the whole point of this passage is we are utterly dependent on God in every way, for everything, and it's good to acknowledge that. When someone wins the lottery, are they earnestly pleading with God for their daily needs the next day? Probably not. If you knew that you were going to be able to have your job as long as you wanted it and there was never any chance at all that you would lose it, how likely would you be to pray about your daily work? If you knew, I'm hurting now, I've got this lower back, but in 2 weeks, I'm never going to have any back pain again. If you knew that, how likely would you be to pray about it today and tomorrow and the next day? Regular daily prayer helps us to bring ourselves into communion with God and dependence on him. And the psalm writers knew a lot about that. Psalm 71 says, my mouth is filled with your praise. Deliver me, God. I want to declare your splendor all day long. Or Psalm 13, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Look on me. Answer me, O Lord. Give light to my eyes. Listen to these words from Proverbs 30. It might be that Jesus is even quoting these verses here, from these verses. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. So it's a prayer. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I might have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Seek God's provision humbly. Seek it regularly. Third, seek God's provision corporately. Notice that this prayer asks that God would give us today our daily bread. Do your prayers extend beyond yourself to the basic needs of others around you? If you live with other people, is there a time each day when people in your home can just together pray? It's a beautiful practice. If you're not living with anyone else right now, I hope your prayers still extend beyond yourself to other people that are in your life. what about the needs of those that are in this church? When we look at that example of the Canaanite woman, it's easy to say, well, if I had a daughter who was in desperate straits like that, I'd be talking with the Lord all the time about it. And yet, God's family is not limited to our biological families, as significant as those are. We're called to love and care for and pray for the family of God. So if you don't have a church directory, ask for one. We'll be happy to send it to you or give it to you. And you can just take some time each day to pray for other people, even in this church. The early church, we're told, devoted themselves to prayer. Our verse is a prayer, and it's a prayer that can be prayed not just for yourself, but for those that you know. Give us our daily bread. And maybe God has given you a lot. Again, in this context, there were a lot of workers that would have lived a bit more day to day, meal to meal, paycheck to paycheck, if you want to put it that way. There's people that may have only had one coat, and if they lost their coat, it's going to get cold tonight. What am I going to do? Most of us don't live in quite that day to day kind of economic situation, but there's still so much uncertainty in life. James 4 says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to do this or that in the city and carry on business and make money. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So there's businessmen. They're not necessarily scrambling for food, but they've got plans for the next day. And even in those daily plans, James says, bring them to the Lord. Acknowledge his hand in that. And if, as far as you know, in this current season, your daily needs seem well provided for, then once again, pray for someone else. Surely you know someone who is sick, hurting, depressed, a little tight on money. Oh Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Seek God's provision humbly. Seek God's provision regularly. Seek it corporately. And then finally this morning, seek God's provision completely. God provides for us in all kinds of ways. And sometimes we can become so laser focused on that one particular thing that we want in our life, whether it's the promotion at work or the grade at school or the church to have this event or, you know, whatever it is, the next thing on your calendar that you're just, you want this to happen, if at all possible, today, if not today, tomorrow, if not tomorrow, the next day. But we can become so laser focused that we forget to pray to God about, indeed, all kinds of things. In fact, sometimes we're so eager to ask God for daily bread for our bodies that we forget to ask him for that daily bread for our soul. Some of you enjoy, there's a devotional booklet called Our Daily Bread. They're drawing the title from this scripture. But if you have a subscription to that, well, it doesn't come with crackers or a bowl of Raisin Bran. It just comes with scripture. But didn't Jesus say, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Didn't Jesus, in the hour of temptation, the need that was right then and there pressed on him by Satan himself, didn't he have the provision of scripture ready to supply as a response to Satan and for his own soul? Or what about when Jesus is speaking with the woman at the well and he has this evangelistic encounter with her and they're talking about the Bible and him as a prophet, and she goes away and his disciples come back and they say, Master, have some food. You remember his response? I have food to eat that you know nothing about. He didn't have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in his knapsack. He had just had a conversation with a woman about her spiritual needs, and those needs were present right then and there, and that was satisfying to him. When you're going to have a difficult encounter with your coworker, and you know you're going to have a difficult encounter with your coworker, Don't just go into it. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, help me today. Give me something from Scripture today that I can hold on to, so I'll respond in a way that gives honor and praise and glory to God, to you, and I won't detract from that by snapping at my coworker. Or, like Jesus, Lord, I'm hungry for an encounter with someone else today where I can give them food from your word. Provide me that opportunity. I want to give that to them. Let the Scripture itself be a part of that bread that you're seeking and asking for. I mentioned George Mueller earlier. He actually said that early on in his Christian life, he had this habit of getting up in the morning and trying to launch right into prayer. And he said he found it really difficult. He would pray and his mind would wander and he'd get distracted, and we could all identify and relate to that. And then he said this. He said that he changed and he started, rather than just trying to pray for, say, 30 minutes straight, he would bring Scripture and read some Scripture and let Scripture help nourish his soul and satisfy him and be kind of fuel for prayer. I said that was a dramatic difference. I found that as I grabbed hold of the Word, that helped me to gather my thoughts, and it brought such courage to my heart that it made me want to pray even more. Augustine said, our daily food, then, in this earth is the Word of God. Seek God's provision. Seek it humbly. Seek it regularly. Seek it corporately. Seek it completely. There is a challenging question that some of you might be thinking about. Why is it that God doesn't always seem to answer prayers for basic daily needs? Christians have starved to death, just as unbelievers have. Not all of us can have the testimony of George Mueller. Some of you might even think, well, I mean, that's great that George Mueller could log thousands of answers to prayer. I've been praying for this aching back for 2 weeks every day. I don't have an answer to that yet. I've got some bad news for you. I'm not God. Now, that's actually good news. It's good news that I'm not God. But the other news is I don't know all of God's ways and purposes. Can't give you a full answer to that question. It is good to check our motives as we pray. Carson writes, this prayer is for our needs, not our greeds. Many times our prayers do reveal something of our priorities. When you hear someone expressing their longing and tension as to why God doesn't answer their prayer, what is it usually about? In other words, is it very common for you to hear someone say, I've been praying for my coworker to get saved and I want God's kingdom to come, and I've been praying and praying and God just doesn't answer that prayer, and I long for him to hear me. You do hear that, and I've heard that. But I think it's actually more common to hear someone say, I've been praying for my coworker, but I know God is sovereign. I got to give it over to God. I'm going to testify and bear witness, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. But then when it comes to another kind of prayer, maybe a prayer for someone in their immediate family, or even a prayer regarding their own life situation, health, job promotion, you know, moving somewhere, new house, fill in the blank. That sometimes is the thing where they seize on and ask, Lord, why? Why didn't you answer? So our prayers can reveal something of our priorities, but admittedly, there are many times where Christians ask in humility for the glory of God. They ask on behalf of others. They ask for good motives, and God doesn't answer the prayer in exactly the way that they might most want to have it answered. And we're not God. We can't give all of his mind and heart. But we can say that he gives us what we need. He might not always give us what we ask for, but he gives us what we need. And sometimes unanswered prayer for those daily physical needs reminds us of the things that we need the most. Our scripture reading from earlier today came from the Old Testament, and Israel's out in the wilderness, and they're hungry. They're thirsty. They pray, and God answers. They kind of complain. I'm being generous there when I say they pray, but God answers and gives them bread from heaven, and it's just the bread they need for that day. He doesn't give them bread for the month or for 3 months or the year. He gives them bread for that day. He gives them water from the rock when they need it. Israel cries out and God hears them. But in John chapter 6, and just turn over there as we close this morning, John chapter 6. Go ahead and turn over there. Grab your Bibles. Here's an occasion where people have need of bread, and Jesus performs a miracle, and the Lord provides the people that nourishment. But then when Jesus reflects on that event in the chapter, he goes on to say some extremely powerful things. John 6, look at verse 27. This is Christ speaking. Do not work for food that spoils. In the context of how hungry they weren't asking for a lavish feast or a banquet. They just were sitting out in the sun all day and they got hungry. And he still reminds them, okay, you had the need. It was a good biological need, but don't work for the food that spoils, but for the work that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, that is on the Son of Man, on himself, God the Father has placed a seal of approval. And then look down to verse 31 of John 6. The Jews say, our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. I mean, it's hard when you read this petition, give us our daily bread. It's hard as you read through the Bible not to have in your mind that background of how God provided the Israelites their daily bread through the manna. And the Jews are quick to remind Jesus of that here. Hey, yeah, you provided bread. That was great. That's what Moses did for us, and that God used that. But then look at how Jesus responds. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So we're in some ways ending where we began. We might limit our prayers if we so exclusively pray for daily physical bread that we forget to long for God's bread from heaven, found, yes, in his word, found ultimately in the person of his own Son, who has come down to give spiritual life to the world. There's all kinds of people that are happy to throw up a prayer for a good meal, for family Thanksgiving celebrations, and they might never, ever think of Jesus Christ. And if we pray for those things, and we should pray for those things. So let me again say, we shouldn't limit our prayers. But in praying for all those things, if we find ourselves praying for those things and never praying for Christ himself, we're missing the person we need the most. Give us today our daily bread. Ask, and you will receive him. Let's pray. Lord God, how we need the Son to provide life for us. We need that initially. For anyone here who has not heard the good news, Jesus Christ died for sinners. The sacrifice has been made, the blood has been shed, the wrath has been appeased, and the righteousness is available and is credited to us who believe. So Lord, for any who need today to hear the news of salvation, would they come asking and receiving and finding your generosity is boundless. Your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And Lord, we confess also that we need Christ continually. Those who know him, those of us who are united to him by faith, as we have received the Lord, so we want to walk in him, being rooted and built up, being grounded in love, being able to comprehend with all the saints that fullness, that we might be filled up with Him today. So Lord, even as we ask for those, even right now, that are recovering from surgery, that are dealing with the pain of just trying to get out of bed in the morning, Lord, provide for them all they need. Provide for them the strength in their bodies. And for all of us, even those who are healthy in body, who have wonderful meals waiting for us, who have a job to go to this week, oh, we need Christ. We need Your hand on our lives. We are weak people, and we're needy people. As the eyes of a maid looks to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to You, O Lord our God. Turn and shine on us today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.